Hello and welcome to Play DNA. I'm your host Damon. I'm here with
Cassandra
and Sarah.
And we're going to talk about some games today.
Yeah. We played a bunch of games that we have already, well, not a bunch. We played some games that we've already played. We're playing so much Wormwood, it's ridiculous. Because we're kickstarting pretty soon, so we're just doing lots and lots of playtests. But we also played Camel Up, and we played Piece of Cake, introduced Piece of Cake to some new people, and they did not understand what the cake looked like, because as we've said so many times, Piece of Cake does not look like cake at all. It doesn't even really look like pie. It's just a very confusingly drawn game. You guys played Thunderstone. I did not play Thunderstone, but yeah.
Did you guys have, for the listeners who want to support the your Wormwood game and its launch on Kickstarter, is there a place they can go to find that?
Yeah, you can go to the website, which is fallofwormwood.com, and Wormwood is W-O-R-M, not W-Y-R-M. That's our website, and you can go to the Kickstarter pre-launch Kickstarter page from there.
Very cool. Very cool. Mm-hmm. Are you still thinking about changing the name? We can talk about this later, but do you have to change the name, or are you going to keep it as is?
We're going to have to add something to it. We're not going to change it, but it's going to need to have like a subtitle or something. We did talk to a lawyer, and they were like, you're not going to be able to get Wormwood. It's just, they're not going to allow you to do that. So, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's fine if I think it's okay if it's Wormwood plus subtitle.
I don't think there's any situation where they would actually send us a cease and desist, but I don't know.
No, I don't know.
I'd rather just be prepared for it because of the news thing. If you want to be on the news in that way. So, yeah.
But here's the other a complication is if we named our game Wormwood and Wormwood Gaming Tables decided not to push back, it also means that we are agreeing to share the name Wormwood, which means the next person who wants to make a game called Wormwood, we can't tell them
contested
not to
or anything.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So that doesn't seem very wise either to me, but
yeah,
we still got to figure that out. One of the many, many things we got to figure out.
Gosh. I have a birthday party. I invited you guys, but you live out of state, so you guys couldn't make it, unfortunately. But we played this really fun game called Five Towers. This is, I believe it's by Pegasus Spiel. I don't know where I find all these games. I think this is one of those like articles I clicked on Google. It's like top five best strategy games of the year or something. And then I found that and then I purchased it and it came in the mail just before my birthday. And it was everyone's favorite game of the night. It's a very small box. It's like the size of a Tichu box, but a deck of cards. And in the game, you're building towers. There's only five towers. Obviously, there's like a sand tower, a candy tower, and, you know, very
did you just
towers.
Say, obviously, there's a sand tower and a candy tower?
There's just, no, I mean, obviously there's only five towers because there's literally only five types of towers because that's what the game is called, Five Towers. But
and obviously one of them is a candy tower.
I don't really understand. Okay, so in the game itself, there's all these like animated pictures on the cards that resemble literally every Disney character I've ever seen. And so the fact that they got away with publishing all these things on the cards is baffling to me, that Disney didn't sue them or something, because Disney did not collaborate with this company to make the cards for this game. But clearly what? There's Disney references all over the cards and
what?
Pokemon yeah. references.
Wait,
and
are... Oh.
It's just okay. bizarre.
Pokemon references.
So far you've stated that this game has five towers, one of which is a sand tower, one of which is a candy tower, and the other three are unmentionable. And
I mean, they're just
it
not
also
as
uses
memorable as
dozens
tower.
Of unlicensed characters
I've
and is published by Pegasus Spiel
more than dozens
what
yeah. I don't know how they
yeah this is
it.
Confusing
yeah, click on the button
I'm looking on
this?
Board Game Geek
yeah
I've never
see...
seen this before in my life
okay get more cards and build fantastic towers okay
can you see the cards and see some of the characters on the cards
okay,
I don't see any characters
let's see.
At all
I see gingerbread I see the candy tower
Yeah, there's a gingerbread man on
the line. Let's see. I see a worm that might be the dune worm.
It's definitely the dune worm. Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Pokemon? There are Pokemon in here?
There are let's Pokemon. See. It's just really weird to me that they could get away with all that, but I mean, maybe they...
I'm not seeing any of the things you're seeing. Well, it's very weird to me,
too. Oh, yeah, look, this is Jack from Night Before Christmas.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's just some
weird creature. Wait, okay, yeah, there's like a...
Yeah, there's like a Totoro. There's the Michelin... What is he called?
The Ghostbusters
Marshmallow.
Guy.
Yeah, the Ghostbusters guy. This is the girl from Wreck-It Ralph.
Exactly.
Here's a Bulbasaur. I don't know. This is confusing.
They have nothing to do with the actual gameplay. So in the game, you're building a stack of towers. And to do that, it's best with five. So you sit with five people around the table and then you start your bid. So like if I liked three of the five cards that were sitting on the table, I say I bid three. And then if it went to Damon, he'd say, I'd like to bid four. And then if you didn't want to bid, you could either say pass or bid. And if you bid and you get your bid, you must place all of those towers into your individual towers. And you're trying to create the highest tower with the most points, but they have to be monotonically decreasing. So like your highest one has to be on the bottom going to the lowest one. And there's a couple cards that break the rules. Like eights can allow anything to go on them and nines can sit on anything. So, So once you put your zero on the top of your tower, that doubles all the towers if you have a zero on top of your tower, and then the person with the most points wins. But the bidding aspect of it is very fun, and then trying to figure out like how many towers have already gone through the deck, because you play through the deck twice before the game's over. Just a really fun, clever bidding game about towers, and I really think you and Damon would like this one, actually. It's a really, really fun game, so I don't know.
It does look fun, and it sounds fun. It's very confusing why they would take that risk and why it wouldn't be a problem, but...
I don't understand how they could do all that and not get sued, but I guess they're not getting sued. I don't know. Unless Disney is listening to this podcast now and like, going after them after this. Saying, you clearly used our characters, please pay us money for that, or something. I don't know. So, yeah. That's the first one we played. Did you guys...
Maybe they got away with it just because... It's more than just Disney characters. It's like, actually, maybe not, because Disney owns everything now. But I saw like an alien. There was an alien in there. No, they don't own Dune.
They do own Alien, which is
there's an alien in there. There was.
They definitely own Wreck-It Ralph references and.
Yeah. I don't. That's very confusing. Hmm. Yeah, I guess I'll mention Ascension, because even though we've played it before, it was a really long time ago. Ascension. Is a deck building game. We were playing it with some people who had never played a deck building game before, so we had to teach them that whole idea, which is surprisingly difficult. It's just not an intuitive idea if you're not familiar with deck builders. So it is, I mean, it has a lot of gems, which I didn't remember. There are a lot of gems. Just because the gems are like the points. You get gems when you get points. But it's a pretty typical deck builder. The only weirdness about it is that the ones that I'm used to have like a tableau, like a store that you can always buy from. And things in the tableau are usually kind of the same stuff, or possibly always the same stuff, depending on the game. This game, when you're buying new cards, you're drawing five cards out of a giant deck and placing them down, and those are the five cards that you can buy on your turn. But as a result, it's possible to buy something hoping that you'll be able to create some kind of synergy in the game, and then you never find another card that helps with that card, or like you very inconsistently find cards that work with the card that you bought, which kind of is what happened to you, Damon, and another player, Alex. They both bought these things that were like very specific, and then they couldn't find any other cards that like actually assisted in any way.
It's such a big deck.
Yeah, it's a huge deck. It's very big. Like, I thought it was fine, but I wouldn't say it's my favorite deck builder game.
I like it quite a bit. It's a great game, actually. But it's better with expansions, just like Dominion, which I don't actually recommend basically to anybody, but it is better with the expansions. I haven't played without the expansions for a while. This is the first time playing just the base game. And I just feel somewhat incomplete without some of the expansions added onto it, but still good.
It has some really weird art
Yeah, the art's pretty bad. I've played digitally most of the time, and it's harder to tell on a smaller screen.
It's like the art is really colored pencil, which is kind of unusual, but like not in a like, ooh, fun, unusual. It's like, oh, version, this looks old.
The updated version has better art, redone art, but it at least has specificity. Like it has personality to it. It's not like quite like anything else, which is mm-hmm. good. It's not generic. It's just amateurish.
Yeah.
Which I'm basically fine with, but I like that game a lot. Most people like that game a lot. We also played Nevermore. Nevermore is a game that says it's for 3 to 6 treacherous people.
Treacherous?
Which I kind of like and kind of don't like that description because it doesn't really make any sense, but I like that they're trying to give personality to the player count.
Mm-hmm.
But it really has nothing to do with treachery. That's not really a part of the game. It's just a drafting game. You're passing your hand of 5 cards to another player, pass 3 cards, then 2 cards, then 1 card, and end up with a different hand than you had before, and you're just trying to get the most of one suit in order to either deal damage to other players or heal yourself. This is a game that has player elimination in it. Relatively simple in how to play. You can pick it up very quickly, but then there's this also, it's like stack of white and black magic cards, which have a lot of different effects, like a lot of them, and since the alternative to that is just this very, very simple drafting game with suits, that's relatively predictable. You kind of have to have those cards to do any of the treachery the box
to spice things
says.
Up.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And all those cards are face down in front of you, being collected over time. So several times people have like 6 or 7 of those things, and they're wordy. There's a lot written on those cards, and they'd be checking them a lot. So in a game this simple, having a lot of reading time kind of hurts it. It's definitely way longer than it needs to be. Some of that is the reading time and some of that is just the game time, because player elimination games tend to have wildly variable play times.
Well, the player elimination wasn't the issue for me. The issue was when you get eliminated, you actually get turned into a crow. So you're still in the game, you just can't win. But once you get turned into a crow, you can get turned back into a human.
Yeah.
And so the result was that people would get tons of points, and then they would get turned into a crow, and then they have enough points to win, but they can't win until they turn back into a human. And so they're trying to turn back into a human, and then other people are getting points. And so it's just like when you get out of a game, but then you can also get back in, and also when you can like lose, you can't lose victory points, but you can lose health and you can gain health. It's just so much back and forth, and it was so much longer than it needed to be. And it just didn't have like a nice, the progression, like if you looked at it on a graph, it's not like, it didn't get more and more exciting. It was like, oh, and then it's like, oh my God, this is dragging forever.
Did either of you get turned into a crow?
Yeah.
I didn't.
You never got turned into a crow.
I won.
You're the only player
I'm the only person
crow,
who didn't get turned into a crow.
The only person who isn't a crow, and you win the game. And if you get to 6 points, you win the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, most of the systems are actually probably fine. It's just there's something, yeah, off about it. Something feels not quite right. That it's taking too long, but you can't quite put your finger on exactly why, like how you would fix it or how you would solve the problem, because there's so many variables at play with those magic cards that can do a lot of different things. So I don't know. I don't think I'd recommend Nevermore.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it. It's kind of interesting.
Replace it with another like drafting attacking game.
Yeah, it is unique. I don't think I've played another game like it, but it's not quite right. It seems like a kind of game that didn't have enough iterations. And it's like, oh, this is kind of interesting. I think the math is working. But then while you're playing it, you're like, I don't think the math is quite right. It's not quite right. And it didn't feel like I won because I strategically did something correct. It felt like a just totally random.
I think it's because the actual drafting part isn't that fun.
No, it's not. It's not at all.
Drafting to tableau build or drafting to create, you know, decks and things is interesting because they have long-term repercussions.
Yeah.
That wasn't really the case here.
No, you're just trying to get like matching cards. That's it.
Yeah. So the strategy is relatively straightforward. It just takes a while to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a sizable part of the problem.
Yeah, not, I would say not recommended.
Damon and Cassandra were nice enough to get me a game called Bird Watcher for my birthday, so we played that.
Yeah,
on my birthday. And Bo hated it. I actually liked it.
Oh no.
He was like, I never want to play that game again. So in the game, you're basically just collecting birds, and the birds need to be in sets to count as points. So like if you had like a blue bird and then something else in between and then another blue bird, those would only count as individual birds. You really want to collect them in large sets. Like five blue birds would be like 22 points, as like opposed to one blue bird, which would be worth like 2 points or something. There is a lot of the same action you can take over and over again, which is what Bo did not like about the game. Like, you can either put new birds in this thing called the clearing so you can have more variety of birds to choose from, or you can like bank a bird and put it in your points. So he just thought there wasn't enough variety of actions to make it that fun, which I kind of agree with. I mean, that part of the game, you know, was a little bit not as exciting. And thematically, the game doesn't really make sense. Even the rules say, like, this is not how you would actually birdwatch. Do not do this when you're birdwatching, otherwise you'll scare all the birds away. So in the game, when you're collecting a bird and you're trying to bank the bird for points, you take a bird and put him below your player board, which counts as your actual birds that you've put in your booklet, like a picture of a bird you put in your booklet. And then when you take a picture, I guess the clicking of the camera thematically, like the other birds get scared away or something. So you have to put another bird back into the clearing. And it just didn't make a lot of sense thematically for a lot of people. Like, why would a click of a camera scare a bird away? That doesn't really make a lot of sense. And yeah, it didn't really make a lot of sense. So, I mean, if you like birds a lot, the pictures of this game are quite beautiful. So the artwork is very, very beautiful. But there is only about 10 different types of birds. And I think it was probably because
probably
cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
Because each bird is so elaborate and so well drawn and illustrated. But I don't know. I kind of liked it, but it's not really highly ranked, but I just think it's beautiful to play. And I'd play it again. Bo would not play it again, but maybe I could find someone to play it again with me.
Aww.
So
I mean, inspiring that kind of negative passion in Bo is a feat. So
it's maybe true. It's a good sign. He's like the most positive person
the game
ever.
Inspired. Well, he could be. I mean, if Bo doesn't like something, he'd be like very, you know. I don't know if I like that, but like, if he really didn't like this, I think that's pretty good. You know, it's inspiring some real emotion there. That's a good sign.
Yeah, no, he was adamant. Like, I am never playing this game again. I hated it.
Wow.
Was like, okay, we won't play that one again for you. So, yeah.
Aww. It sounds a little, just by the brief description, it sounds a tiny bit like Q-Birds, which is a great game. Also about birds.
Yeah, it's very similar to that. Only I'd say Q-Birds, since it's shorter and more intuitive, people would like this one better. This feels more like a, I don't know, it just felt kind of cozy to me, and I'm not sure I'm a huge fan of cozy games, but it didn't feel like there was a ton of player interaction, or it was very cutthroat, or that it would, there'd be a very big point differential between each game. Like, everyone was pretty locked in with the amount of points they were getting.
Gotcha.
So I don't know.
It's kind of just an excuse to look at bird pictures.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
The art was very nice.
It was nice. We also played, I know you guys had played this at Gen Con, but I hadn't played it before, called Boop. It got cute on the rug, and I got it for my birthday, and it was really fun to play Boop. It's a kind of fun two-person abstract strategy game with kittens and cats. Do you guys remember anything about it?
You just move a cat, boop a cat.
You can boop them by pushing them off the board, or boop them into other cats.
And you're trying to basically boop your own cats into each other to make super-sized cats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To win the game, you have to get 3 cats in a row. So everyone seemed to like that. We played it with a bunch of different people, and the two-person, we kind of split up, and then everyone tried it.
Were you able to figure out a strategy? When I played, I just played at a con, and I think I played twice, and it was like, I lost almost immediately because I did not understand. I didn't understand the strategy.
I don't think I did either, because Bo played it with Glenn later, and like they played I'm not kidding. Their game took at least an hour, and Bo and
what?
I played.
What? How is that even possible?
They were just so into Boop, and they just, none of them were giving any ground. So, and then eventually when I played with Bo, it was like a 15-minute game, and I won pretty easily. So I was like, maybe I just need, maybe we just both don't know what we're doing yet, and maybe we'll come up with a strategy later. I don't know.
You play it, after this hour-long game, you played a 15-minute game, are you wondering?
No, I played it before they played the hour-long game. So he probably has more of an idea of how to play Boop than I do, because him and Glenn were really battling in that game, so...
Wow.
But I don't know.
I don't even know how that's possible. It's such a tiny board. It seems like that's a long time for such a tiny little game.
Get your cats back on, though.
That's true. Yeah.
It disappear forever.
Yeah.
And then finally, I'll just mention one more. So Jean-Luc brought over this game at our birthday that was invented by AI.
Okay.
It's a game called Yavelath, and it was developed...
Wait, this is published or like just
he printed it out?
He asked ChatGPT to make him this thing?
Well, okay, so it's an actual board game. You can find it on Board Game Geek. It looks like this. I don't know. It's called
It says it's from 2007.
Whatever. It's pretty old, but you can print the board. You don't actually need to buy it. They do sell it on Amazon. But it's a very interesting two-person abstract strategy game. You can play it with Pente pieces, or if you have like a chessboard or a checkerboard, you can play it. You know, you can play it with one of those things. Anyway, it's just a very clever two-person abstract strategy game if anyone's interested in, like, a very simple rule but, like, hard-to-learn game.
Huh.
You can push pieces. I can't really explain a two-person abstract strategy game in its entirety because it's kind of hard.
Yeah.
So, yes, you're right. It says it was invented / discovered by a game-generating computer program developed by Cameron Brown. I think Cameron Brown is the one who was trying to figure out how to how those ancient games played.
Was he?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's interesting. So yes, it was designed by AI, but not like today's AI. Yeah, this is 2007. Interesting.
It's got, for some reason, so we played it and I liked it. So I downloaded a board and printed it at the house. And then I was looking at the rule book. And for some reason, it's got this insanely long rule book, 55 pages for different ways. And I'm just like a little overwhelmed with how long the rule book actually is. So just play the base version because
this is just like just make a straight line of four pieces on a hexagon board with five to a side. It's like
it's that kind of like Pente.
Shouldn't have rules more than three sentences long. That's interesting. Yeah. I would guess it's more like he came up with the board and said, I have a five-point-six-sided board with two colors in pieces of this many. I need you to generate 55 different ideas for me.
Mm.
And then it did. And then he picked one of them and called that thing Yavelath. And the other 54 are fun alternatives to Yavelath.
Could be.
All that you can do with, like, this single board.
Right. Here's all the possible things that can be done with this board. Most of which are not fun.
Yeah. Which would be interesting to him because this is like what his PhD research is on, but it's not really interesting for the average player. That's funny.
I forgot. We did play Coloretto, which I know you guys have played Zooloretto, but I've never played Coloretto or Zooloretto. Coloretto was pretty fun. It's just a simple set collection game. But have you guys played Coloretto before?
I've played it.
Yeah, played it before. Yeah, it wasn't, I don't know, Zooloretto we played early in our gaming careers, quote unquote careers.
Is it better than Coloretto, Zooloretto?
I think it is.
Yeah, it's definitely better.
I think it is.
They're very similar.
But they're very, like super simple games. Like nowadays, I feel like it's just kind of boring. It's not that exciting, but I remember really liking it at the time. I mean, it's got animals in it, so that's good.
What's the difference between Zooloretto and Coloretto then? Do you guys know?
Well, Coloretto is just a card game.
Coloretto doesn't have the zoo additions, obviously. It doesn't have like the zoo itself, so there's no way to there's not like multiple sizes for your collections. I'm trying to remember Coloretto because I haven't played it in like 11 years. Yeah, I know what it looks like. You can't add, it's like in Zooloretto you have the animals, then you have baby animals, coins, and I don't know what they call them, but like the kiosks things.
Yeah,
maybe they
kiosks.
Are called kiosks that add points onto your zoo sections, depending on how they're placed. Coloretto is just a much simpler game. It just doesn't have any of those things. It's probably a much more elegant game as a result.
Yeah. They're very similar, but with different, like presented differently. Like, Zuoretto has a board, and your animals go in different enclosures, and, yeah. But I think they're both probably pretty.
Those are all the games I had, so that's it.
Nice. Well, I'm glad you played some new stuff for your birthday.
Yeah. I really do like Five Towers. I really think you guys would like that game.
Yeah, it sounds fun. It sounds like some really, like a really simple, elegant game that would be fun. So we are like we've said several times, we're getting Wyrmwood onto Kickstarter in the next month. And so we're, Damon and I have been busy and not playing very many new games. So we are going to be taking a little bit of a hiatus from the podcast. So that's we will, fine. Yeah, we will. I mean, we'll return with all
really
sorts of
busy. They're just really busy guys with all their games, and it's yeah. a lot of work. I don't know if anyone can even imagine how much work it is to like promote a board game and like get all this material out there and like get playtesters and just all this stuff. It's a huge undertaking. It's like a full-time job. So
it is. Yeah, it's a lot. Well, and it's just like when you're dealing with a physical product, like we used to be filmmakers. That's how we made our money. And it's so easy to distribute a film comparatively because a film is like a digital thing, usually nowadays. But this is like a physical object that you have to get printed in China, and then you have to put on a ship and send to a warehouse. And it's just like, it's this whole different thing that we don't know anything about. And luckily, there are a lot of people out there who do know what they're doing. So, you know, we can ask for help, but it's just a lot of stuff we've never done before. So yeah. We'll come back with hopefully a triumphant story about how we beat all the odds and figured everything out.
It works out. They've been working really hard, so
yeah. Yep.
Well, as always, we're sorry that we're taking a hiatus, but we'll be back, you know, when we can. Whatever. But you can find all the games we mentioned in today's podcast listed below in the podcast notes, and you can also find us on playdnapodcast.com. and yeah, so lots of work, lots of stuff, and we'll hopefully be back soon with you guys.
And as always, play safe, play often. We'll see you next time.